What's going on, everybody? It is that time again. The Sooners Illustrated Podcast, episode 283 on this Monday, July 6th, 2026. Josh Calloway, Tom Green here with you on a Monday, 60 days from kickoff. Tom and I continue to set the table for the season. Who are Oklahoma's biggest X-factor players on the roster that could help OU in a major way this year? We will discuss that on the show today. We'll also get a little bit of baseball, a little temperature check with that roster, kind of what they've been going through the last week or two, some portal moves, some retention moves, draft coming up this weekend. So we'll just kind of do a little stop in on OU baseball on the back end as well on this Monday, first Monday of July, moving through the offseason, media just a couple weeks away. And we'll get through it on the podcast here today. Reminder, before we get started, subscribe to Sooners Illustrated at oklahoma.247sports.com. Use the promo code that's on your screen if you're watching on YouTube. SoonersPod60, that'll get you a 60% discount to Sooners Illustrated, the entire 247 Sports Network. Take advantage of it. Be with us every single day over at Sooners Illustrated. All right, Tom, let's dive into it. Yeah, we're a couple weeks away from media days. We're moving through. You know, last week we kind of did a getting back to football edition of the show where we have just the biggest strengths, biggest weaknesses that we felt like Oklahoma had as of now. Well, let's continue to kind of comb through this team. And today let's do a little roster talk with the biggest X factors on the team. Now we're going to start on offense just so everyone's on the same page, watching, listening. What we have in mind here for an X factor, basically it's kind of guys that are going to be really important for Oklahoma, are going to play but aren't just the super obvious. Like John Mateer is not an X factor. Isaiah Satania is not an X factor. And so we'll kind of bounce off. I have six names for both offense and defense that I wrote down. I'm curious if you have any of the same ones. We can kind of just go back and forth and throw some out there. But I'll let you start, Tom. Big offensive X factors for you for this season. I feel like there are more on offense than defense because you just need more guys to step up, frankly. Where does your mind go first here when you're looking at X-factor players for Oklahoma on offense?
For me, it starts with Hayden Hansen, a tight end.
That's a good one.
You know, that position has been such a weakness the last several years. And, you know, we discussed, like, Jaron Kanick earned all SEC honors last season, and that's a testament to him and, you know, the work that he put in making that transition from linebacker to tight end. But he was mostly a receiving tight end. What wasn't always the best at setting the edge. That was an issue they had, you know, throughout the year. You know, it was a little undersized for what they had at tight end. But Hayden Hansen, bringing him in from Florida, an experienced SEC starter, to kind of lead that totally revamped room under Jason Witten. And to me, like, you just look at his size, you know, you look at his experience, and he kind of just checks all the boxes that, you know, you hope you can, you know, need from that position and to make this offense better, not just, you know, at the tight end position in general, but like in setting the edge for the run game and, you know, giving John Mateer these giant 6'8", 6'9" targets in the red zone, just filling a lot of what this offense felt like it was missing last season. I think Hayden Hansen just checks a lot of those boxes for them. And I think he's going to be the guy that kind of leads that room. And, you know, we've talked about especially the run game and how important it's going to be for the run game to be much better this season. And a lot of that is going to come down to the role that these tight ends play in, you know, just helping pave the way for those guys in the backfield.
No, that's a good one. You know, Hayden Hansen, kind of sneaky, like really important for Oklahoma this year. I mean, you bring a guy in from Florida who's played a lot of football out there, and he's a one-year guy, right? He's coming in one and done. Obviously, that's someone you're expecting to come in and help a lot, right? You don't bring someone like that in if you don't envision them being both A, very helpful, but also B, just like important and going to play a lot of snaps for you. So I agree. That's a really good one, and I think Hayden Hansen definitely will be – a massive part of this thing, right? And you know, there are other tight ends in that room. Obviously, you got Rocky Beers come in. Jack Van Dorsler is another one you could maybe argue for this same conversation, just kind of like could be a sneaky big-time guy. Rocky Beers, too, for that matter. But again, Hansen's kind of the head of the snake there at that tight end room. So I think that's a good one. For me, I'll throw one out there. One of the top ones I thought of right away when I was kind of thinking about this last night, Torrey Blalock. Torrey Blalock is a big one for me in just terms of, you know, such a big boom potential, I feel like, for him. And, you know, look, Xavier Robinson, I think, is the headliner of that room right now for fair and obvious reasons. He's older, right? And he's got a year older on Torrey. He's been really quite good at times when he's ever, whenever he's been able to be healthy Xavier Robinson has been very solid. I'm expecting a good season for X-Rob. But he's a little bit more of a known commodity, I feel like, than Torrey Blaylock. Blaylock, year two, did some really nice things, really had some flashes. I remember that South Carolina game last year where he was great out there in Columbia. He's someone that what kind of a jump he can make in year two. There's just a chance there that he really pops, I feel like, this fall and really turns into kind of a star for Oklahoma in this offense. We'll see. Maybe not. I mean, they have other running backs. Like I said, I think Xavier Robinson, if the depth chart was coming out today, he'd be that top line guy. But obviously, Blaylock is going to play. And I just, when you think of like offensive guys who can really maybe make a big difference that aren't being talked about as much as some of the obvious ones, like we said before, like a Satania or something, I feel like his name comes up to me pretty quickly, comes to mind for me pretty quickly.
Yeah, I'll give you another one that sure. really came to my mind. Amarian Harris.
I wrote him down. Yeah, he's one of my six.
He's the only new starter on that offensive line, but he's one that has a lot of experience. I think he has high upside too. Like you look at some of his like metrics at Arkansas, they weren't all great, but he improved in some key spots over the years. But you're adding him into a core that you feel real confident about. Obviously, you know, three sophomores in Michael Fastusi, Ryan Foje, Eddie Pierre-Louis, a veteran center in Jake Michaela. To me, it's about how quickly does Amarian Harris just kind of settle in and like get on the same page with those guys that have been playing together for a year now. And look, this is a different kind of experience for Oklahoma on the offensive line than they've had in recent years. It's like they're going into the season and we pretty much know what the starting five is going to look like. There's very little doubt. I mean, I think the only like maybe like swing or the only person that could really swing what that looks like is Heath Ozaida, if he can make a push for a starting job at one of the guard spots. But in my mind right now, we're looking at it's going to be Fasusi, Eddie Pierre-Louis, Michaela, Foje, Harris. And a guy with Harris's experience coming in to just kind of give a little bit more veteran presence to that group of like really high upside young guys. I think if he can mesh really quickly, he's going to be huge for this offensive line.
I agree totally. I wrote him down. He was one of the names I had because, again, like you said, I mean, you feel like, obviously not that these guys aren't going to – they were freshmen last year, but Fasusi, Foje, like you kind of – you feel really good about those guys making another step forward and just – it's a lot of your starters back, to your point. Amarian's the guy who's coming in, who's new, who has a chance to elevate to another level, right, if all kind of clicks together the way you want. So I agree totally. You know, the only position we haven't really hit would be wide receiver. There's like six dudes I feel like you could say at wide receiver. I wrote two of them down. You could talk me into like two or three more at least. I wrote Parker Livingston as one, just as a young guy coming in. I feel like, I mean, Satania's your top guy. Chill Harris has put a lot of football at Virginia. Again, you could argue him as well for this, but just feels like Livingston's that guy who's got so much potential to really be really, really good that maybe hasn't totally done it yet. He had some good moments, obviously, last year, Texas with Arch Manning, but he's a big one. And then as far as totally hasn't really played hardly at all yet would be Elijah Thomas stands out to me as far as just – you're talking about X factor, like game changer, playmaker guy who we have not seen do anything really yet outside of some special teams moments here and there. Elijah Thomas is the one, you know, because we've heard all the things, you know, last year fall camp, it was this guy's unbelievable, but then he never really played. And so it's like, does that change in year two? I don't know. We'll find out soon enough, but he's a big one. There are like I said, like three or four other receivers that you could bring up and I wouldn't push back on it. There's a lot of dudes in that room after that top trio that you just don't know. They could be a big part of this or maybe not. It's hard to know what to expect.
And I agree. I'm really curious to see how that wide receiver rotation shakes out this season, especially because last year they just didn't rotate many guys. I think they might have the bodies to be able to do that this year. Guys that, you know, have the, you know, ability and just the trust of Ben Arbuckle in his second year now. It'll be interesting to see how that shakes out in the coming weeks ahead.
For sure. For sure. Only name I have written down that has not already been brought up or talked about is Jonathan Hatton. Can he impact as a true freshman? You know, a lot of expectations, really highly touted kid at a high school. I'll say looks the part. He looks great. Does he factor in at all? And to what degree? That's a big question for me. But he's an exciting name. So he's the one other one that I wrote down that we had not already touched on. Let's flip over to defense. This was a little harder for me because – you know, last year they just played so many guys. Not that that takes you out of the realm of being an X factor, but it's like there's so many guys who played a lot and you lose some big names, but you have some big names back. Where did you go for this? I feel like there's probably a chance for a little more variance on defensive X factors. There's a couple, I think, fairly obvious ones, but after that, there's a bunch of just names that you could kind of talk yourself into. What did you have here for defense?
Yeah, the first name that came to my mind, and I'm not sure if he counts, but he wasn't like a starter last year, but he's a guy that is going to be starting this year, and it's David Stone. And I don't know if it counts because he's a preseason All-American. Right. And he's a guy that's, you know, projected as a first-round pick next April. So I don't know how much he counts here, but like you look at what he was able to do as a sophomore last season after, you know, only playing 100 or so snaps as a true freshman, you know, 26 total pressures, 22 run stops. His 13% stop rate was second among FBS defensive tackles last season. Mm-hmm. And he's just going to be a guy that's going to be wrecking the middle at the point of attack there for Oklahoma's defense. And, you know, it does seem like because David Stone gets so much buzz that Jaden Jackson's been kind of overlooked, but that is a very, very, very formidable, you know, starting tandem in the middle of your defense right there.
So excited to watch those guys this season. I'm excited just to get eyes on especially Stone. In fall camp, because I mean, we didn't see him in spring, and he's just someone that, you know, he was at a couple of those summer camps, the Brent Venables camps, and just looking at photos of him, it's like, oh my God, he's getting bigger, he's getting more of a monstrous human, which he already was when he first got here, and he's just gotten more and more absurdly large and dominant with each passing week, it feels like. And so excited to see him coming up here in about a month in fall camp. Definitely looking forward to getting eyes on him again. Yeah, for me, you know, very obvious one. I'll go ahead and just hit right off the top, Danny Okoye. I'm all in. I've been very open. I mean, most people are. It's not like some hot take on my part, but I love Danny Okoye. Very excited to see what he looks like. He's a major X factor for me, you know, presumably taking over opposite Taylor Wine. PJ Adebore may have something to say about that, and he could be in this conversation as well as we're talking about X factor guys. But I'm all in on the Okoye train. I feel like this is his time, and he's going to be really, really, really good for Oklahoma this fall. If you had to lean right now, July 6th, do you think Okoye opposite Wine, or you think PJ is going to end up over there week one? If you had to guess right now,
Probably Okoye. I also think that part of it might be because he doesn't have as many live reps as a PJ Adebore does, that when they go out there week one, like they want him to get in the mix right away. Especially if it's like close between them in fall camp. And I am curious to see what PJ looks like, because again, he missed spring practice too, coming off that offseason foot surgery, I believe it was. Curious to see where he picks back up, because this is obviously a make or break year for him. You know, he would have another year of eligibility with the 5-5 rule, obviously. Right. So this isn't necessarily his last year, but he is going into the season as a senior. Had his best season of his career last year, but it still feels like, you know, he's a guy, he came in as a 5-star prospect, but it just feels like it hasn't all coalesced for him quite yet.
Yeah, and he's got to stay healthy, right? I mean, he's been banged up a lot, missed the spring, you know, so we'll see what that looks like. Another guy that played last year and you assume is going to step into an even bigger role for me this year would be Michael Boganowski is a big one. You know, you need a running mate for Peyton Bowen back there. That safety room is a little thin-ish. Not thin, that's too strong, but thin-ish. A lot of young guys back there. And so you need Boganowski to be good, and I feel like he definitely will be. A lot of confidence he's going to be really good for you this year, but he's a big one that when you're talking about guys making like a big jump into not just being contributor, but like legit cornerstone of your defense type of dude, he's probably one that's in that type of conversation. I'm very excited to watch year three for Mr. Boganowski, because you just feel like all the tools are there for him to be really, really good, and he's just got to go do it now coming up this fall.
Yeah. Again, these two are like kind of fringe guys that I don't know they necessarily would apply for like the criteria for an X factor. Sure. But I was looking at Eli Bowen and Cortland Guillory. Again, it's hard to say when, like, you know, Eli Bowen was an all SEC guy last year. Cortland Guillory was a freshman all SEC guy. But you look at the totality of Oklahoma's defense last year, and they were good across the board. But the area that they still stand to improve is the pass defense. Like that area was just a little bit below everything else. And I think those two guys, you look at what they did, you know, Cortland Guillory, holding opposing quarterbacks to 46.8% completion rates when he's targeted, Eli Bowen at 55%. Like, if those guys just continue on their trajectory, I think it just takes this defense to another level, because when they're boxing down guys on the outside, that's presumably giving guys like David Stone, Jaden Jackson, Taylor Wine, Danny Okoye more time to get into the backfield and affect quarterback. Right. So these guys were both starters last year, so it's hard to say. And they were recognized by the SEC. But if they can just level up a little bit, I think it kind of elevates this defense overall.
No doubt. No, I totally agree with that. And I'm very interested to see what it looks like after those two. I mean, you had Jacoby Johnson, but they kind of from there. I have four more names. I'll roll them all off at once that are all kind of more fringy names. They're all younger dudes who haven't really played a lot yet, with the exception of one. I'm just going to roll them off. Amarion Robinson, one. He did play last year. What kind of a leap can he make? I just mentioned that safety room. Thin-ish. You're going to need him. So he's a big one for me.
Another guy.
Yeah, I really like Amarion Robinson. The little bit we saw last year, and he looked great in spring. Like, he's someone that I feel like has a chance to be really, really good. Now, I don't know. I mean, definitely at some point, but can he be that guy now? I think is a fair question. Excited to see what he looks like. And the other three that have not played yet, one is new to OU, Dakota Fields. Just no clue. Can he roll into the rotation coming over from Oregon? We'll find out. And then a couple other guys in that D tackle room, because you need guys to step up. Trent Wilson, year two, and then Nigel Smith. Those are two guys for me that, you know, we heard great things in the spring. You know, Stone and Jackson were both out in spring. They held those guys back. And those were the two of the guys that really kind of took advantage of that, it seemed like, and ran with it. And you need guys – it's kind of an open board in terms of there's four or five guys after Stone and Jackson that there are snaps to go be earned. And those guys did a great job in spring. Can they do it again in the fall? I love Trent Wilson, you know, as a true freshman last year, you know, and just looking what he does in year two, I'm excited for his jump. And so those are a handful of guys who are more fringy. I don't know how much they're going to play in a couple of their cases there, but – just when you're talking about X factor, like guys who could pop up, and you look at the end of the year, like those guys had a really nice year. I could see it from all four of those dudes.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, you talk about defensive tackle. I'm curious what a Bishop Thomas looks like.
Yeah.
Like, it just seems like Brent Venables is like such a big fan of his skill set, even though he doesn't, like, physically he doesn't look super imposing. But like we've heard Brent talk about, he's just kind of got this savviness about it. He knows how to play defensive tackle, even if he doesn't necessarily have the pure measurables that jump off the page to you. So I'm interested to see him and like what his role looks like coming over, because again, he's an older guy. He's been around a few different teams. So what can he do with this opportunity in this defense? And then, you know, similarly, another transfer that I think can be a really high upside guy if his role just kind of carves out like how I think it could, is Kenny Ozawalu, kind of a swing guy that can come off the edge or he can play inside. So I really want to see what his role ultimately looks like. Like, how much time is he spending on the outside? How much time is he playing inside? Like, how many snaps is he going to earn? Because I just think he has a really high upside, whether that's this year or next year, as a developmental guy.
Yeah. I did not write down, and we have not mentioned any linebackers. I just don't know. Kip Lewis is such an obvious. You know what you're getting. They're bringing Cole Sullivan from Michigan. You get Owen Heineke back, which is huge. But then what? Like, I really don't know. They lost Taylor Heim, you know, back in the spring. I think everyone thought he was going to be a factor, maybe a cheetah guy, but you lose him. And so it's kind of some young dudes. I mean, it's James Nesta, maybe. It's Marcus James, maybe. You have some freshmen coming in, like a Dane Bathurst. Like, I don't know. If you outside of those three main guys, I mean, is it probably Nesta for you? I mean, I don't know who is next up to really rotate in and maybe be a factor, let alone an X factor, but a factor at all. It's a very weird position, because the top three guys you feel amazing about. And after that, it's just unknown. It's just unknown commodities after that.
Yeah, I think from a guy that just like looks the part, like Marcus James is really intriguing to me.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Yeah.
Like, physically, he looks like he can be a SEC linebacker, and I'd like to see what year two looks like for him. after, you know, not really contributing last year. So that's the name that probably interests me the most of that group.
I'm with you. So that's going to be a fun position to watch a little more of. You know, they put a lot on the kind of the table. Obviously, in spring, Kip Lewis was not injured or anything, but he was very, like, kind of year five, like not super doing everything. They didn't have Owen Heinicke at the time, right? Obviously, he was still battling all the legal stuff. And so that's where they turned to the Nestas and the Bathursts and Marcus Jameses of the world and kind of, you know, let them run with it in spring to see if they're able to keep up that progress through the fall. The Sooners Illustrated Podcast will be back after this short break. Before we go on this, under the radar, guys, basically what we're looking for here is X factors that are even more bold. These are not guys that we're necessarily going to say are definitely going to have massive years, but names that are just totally not being talked about at all that are like, don't forget this guy. You know, anything that jumps out to you there, I have a few names that are kind of, you know, we're getting bold with it, right? A couple names I don't know how big they're going to play or where they even fit in, but you never know, right? What about you for under the radar? Anything that stands out?
Yeah, I've got two guys on offense, and I don't know how under the radar they necessarily are because I feel like we talked about them a lot in the spring, but sure. I still don't know what their roles are going to look like come fall. And one of those guys is Mackenzie Alleyne.
Yeah, he's a good one. Yeah.
We discussed, like, we know what that top three at receiver should look like if everybody's healthy. But Mackenzie Alleyne's a guy that just came in and he looked the part in the spring. You factor in that he's got experience in Ben Arbuckle's offense. Like, he knows John Mateer from their time at Washington State. And I just think he's a guy that can be a sneaky contributor here. Again, I don't know, like, how big of a role that's going to be. But he's also one that, you know, you go back 6 months to when, you know, he signed with Oklahoma. Everybody just kind of thought he was an afterthought. Talking about a guy that, you know, was a walk-on at Washington State, and Oklahoma was grabbing him as, you know, its third receiver out of the portal. And then he goes and is one of the breakout stars of spring. So, like, that's why I kind of view him as an X factor, just because, like, he was an afterthought 6 months ago. And he could have a real role as a, you know, rotational piece in this wide receiver room. And, you know, just hearing him talk about it in the spring is like, yeah, man, when I'm out there, I want to seize my opportunity. Like, I want to show that I can make these plays because I know I can make these plays. And he did that throughout the spring. And then the other guy for me is Lloyd Avant.
We
talked about Torrey Blaylock, Xavier Robinson, but like Lloyd Avant's
guy that he kind of gets lost. Yeah.
We've heard a lot about behind the scenes that he's just been so steady for them. And there are people that wouldn't be surprised if he ends up eventually being a starter in that backfield. His skill set is just so different from everybody else's in that room, just because he's more of a Swiss Army knife. He can do a little bit of everything. You know, we'll probably see him on kickoff returns too. Like, he's a guy that opens that up for them because that, again, they were last in the nation in kickoff return attempts last year. And so I think he can impact this team in a couple of different ways this season. So those are kind of my two under the radar guys that I'm keeping my eye on as we approach the season.
Yeah, I like both those a lot. I do have a receiver as well. Like I said before, there's just so many guys at receiver.
Can I guess which one?
Sure.
Jasir Rodgers.
No.
That's going to be my choice.
Yeah, I almost had him as an X factor back when we did that. JerMichael Carter, where does he fit in? He is the forgotten man in the wide receiver room. People just totally don't even remember this guy.
Because he missed a lot of spring too.
He did. And he had some nice moments in that November run last year, some key plays here and there. And, you know, all the attention is on, obviously, you have Satania back, but then it's the portal guys they added. These young guys, the Jasir Rodgers, Jade Petit coming in, year two guys, Choice and Elijah Thomas. And it's like somewhere in the middle there is JerMichael Carter. And I just don't – I don't know. I don't know where he fits in. You could tell me he's below all those guys, and I wouldn't necessarily think it was crazy. You could tell me he's that fourth guy right after that top three, and I don't think that's out of play either. You know, so he's a major under the radar because I just – you could talk me into almost anything for what his season could look like. And then – this one's a lot more bold on offense. I don't think he's going to play a lot. But again, when you're talking about forgotten guys under the radar, just totally forgotten about, year four for Cade McIntyre. They have a lot of tight ends. I know that, I get that, but the guy has stuck around a long time through a lot of injuries. We talked to him back in the spring, and it was like he just continues to plow away and, you know, really good athletic high school player. Maybe could even be like a slot receiver guy if he wants to kind of move away from being a tight end full time or whatever. Again, not that I'm expecting him to have some massive role, but when you're talking about like he's been around a long time, and I don't know. He's an interesting name to me that I just can't quit. I liked him a lot when he was in high school up in Nebraska. And so I just like he's still around. I know he's got ability. Like he had some moments a little bit late in the year last year in some garbage time situations, but I don't know. He's another one that is just kind of like when you're talking about he's really under the radar that nobody's talking about at all. And so he's a big one for me.
Yeah, actually, two other
ones. Go ahead.
I just want to circle back on the Jermichael Carter thing. Like the important thing to remember with him is, you know, he was a summer addition for them last year. So he didn't get spring last year. He now has a full year in this system, in this program. You know, we saw his role kind of expand in the second half of last season. Again, I don't know like how much missing some of spring impacts that for him. Because I'm with you, like I just do not know where he falls in that pecking order right now. And you know, I think we'll learn about that more in August and see what that looks like. But I can definitely see him as a guy that they were really, really fond of when he came in last summer. And it was just about like getting him settled, getting him adjusted to where he needs to be. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure. Two other ones for me, real quick. One on defense is Jeremiah Newcomb. Another guy I just don't know. This is a guy that was kind of the darling of fall camp last year in some ways. Then he got hurt, missed the whole year. No clue. This is not even me saying that. I just really don't know. And this is a guy that, again, that had a lot of kind of hype around him not that long ago. And, you know, could he be like a potential rotational cheetah option? Is he a safety? Is he a corner? I don't know where he fits in, but he's a major – like under the radar, wild card type of player, Jeremiah Newcomb. Very interested. And then one more that's really kind of pulling a bit of a random one. It's not something that ever gets talked about ever. How about Jacob Ulrich at punter? I feel like Jacob Ulrich, you know, I feel like him and Grayson Miller, they're kind of battling. I think, you know, Grayson Miller had a great year and he's back. And so I'm sure that publicly there's a little bit of an idea of like, oh, he's your punter. Jacob Ulrich has stuck around another year. It feels like it was his job to lose last year, and then he got. Well, he had an injury or something. I can't remember what his injury was, where Miller kind of took the job and just ran with it.
It was a hamstring, like the first after the first week of the season, just got a little tight. And that's the one. That's like the one thing you cannot injure as a punter.
Right. Not that the punter battle is going to be that spicy or flashy to talk about in fall, but don't be shocked if Jacob Ulrich is the punter going into the season. He kind of wrestles that job back. I could see that happening. So again, not that that's super flashy, but. You know, you may have a new punter hanging around in Jacob Ulrich for sure.
Yeah, on the Jeremiah Newcomb front, that one is interesting to me because it seemed like his role might have been a little bit more defined if Owen Heineke didn't get his extra year.
Yeah,
but true. Because Owen Heineke gets that sixth year, it opens up the option for Oklahoma to move like a Cole Sullivan out to Cheetah and give them a bigger option at Cheetah, and then you know. You're looking at your top two, Cheetah probably being Cole Sullivan and Reggie Powers. Whereas before, like throughout the spring, it was like Reggie Powers and Jeremiah Newcomb's the number one guy behind them. So that'll be interesting to me. Like, what does that Cheetah rotation look like? Because, you know, again, you talk about Jeremiah Newcomb was a guy that like was the darling of fall camp last year before he had that shoulder issue.
Yep.
And you know, he did some good things in the spring too. So we'll see where he kind of lands in that pecking order too.
Yeah, and just like where he plays. I feel like you get on the field. OU plays so many guys on defense. I know Brent Venables likes him. Like I feel like he'll get on the field, but how much and where? Those are the questions with Newcomb. So, all right, I think that's it for that. We combed through the roster a little bit. Next week, Tom and I will do some schedule talk, I think. A little bit of toughest game, most important, maybe a little over-under on the win total. Conversation next week, and the week after that is media days, so we'll kind of set the table for that here in just a minute, kind of go through some of the scheduling stuff. Before we go though, I want to make sure to get a little bit of baseball in on the back end here. I know we're full steam ahead on football for obvious reasons. We're 2 months from the season. Baseball won a national title a couple of weeks ago. There's still everyone's still celebrating that. I don't think most people are mentally on to 2027 for baseball just yet. That being said, they got some great news last week. that officially the starting pitching freshman trio is back. Cord Rager, Xander Mercurius, and Nick Weslowski all officially have re-signed back with Oklahoma and will be pitching for the Sooners next year. I mentioned this a couple of times on the show that I had been told very positive indications here that these guys were going to be back, even in Omaha before they won the title. I had been told that things were in place to retain these guys. But until it's official, you never know, right? I mean, it's college sports in 2026. I mean, it happens. Guys hit the portal all the time, and they test the open market or whatever. But these three guys are all back. Tom, obviously, I mean, Hugh, I mean, for obvious reasons, I mean, you won the national title as the first team to ever only pitch freshmen in Omaha, and they're all back, and they were all awesome last year, and that's really exciting moving into next year for obvious reasons.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, these guys started every single game in Omaha for you. They led the way throughout the postseason, really, but specifically in Omaha. To be able to retain all those guys, and, you know, especially for Skip Johnson as a guy who is a pitching coach by trade, to get these young arms and to be able to continue to develop and mold them into what they can be, I think it's just huge for Oklahoma as you're kind of looking ahead to that title defense next year.
For sure. And it's exciting for fans, too. I mean, just, you know, you're going to have to replace a lot of the lineup, if not all, pretty much all of it, outside of one or two guys, maybe. And, you know, the fact that next year for fans, when they go to the ballpark on a weekend, you know, I mean, barring who knows what happens, you know, maybe other guys emerge, you know, injuries happen. But for the most part, you can kind of put in pencil right now, like, you're going to see one of these three guys start. Who everyone watched in Omaha, like, fans know who they are. And, like, that's cool. That's cool for fans, and it's a good ticket seller, frankly, the fact that one of these three guys will be on the bump every weekend for you next season, theoretically. A long time between now and then. We'll see what happens, but that's really, really cool. Some other quick baseball, just kind of housekeeping items. The portal has been good to them. I've mentioned, you know, some of the guys they've picked up here and there, with Carson Brumbaugh from Arkansas, J. Abernathy from Tennessee. These are guys who probably start for you. A couple of the pickups that they've made that I haven't really talked about, Vaughn Coleman from Cal State Northridge is an outfielder. Great numbers last year. I think he's got a chance to factor in a little bit. And the one they just picked up the other day, Tom, I don't know if you happen to stumble upon this, is a JUCO transfer from, I can't remember what even the school was, tiny school. Cameron Yearsley is his name. I had to bring him up because the numbers are just laugh out loud funny. In JUCO last year, Yearsley hit .464 with 37 home runs and 99 RBIs in 58 games last year. I don't care what level, that's ridiculous. So he's an outfielder. They have a lot of outfield options going into next year. And so the portal class has been good. You lost a couple of guys. Alec Blair moves on. He's off to Texas A&M. Drew Dickerson moves on. He followed Todd Butler to Florida. Cameron Johnson is in the portal. So you've had some portal losses, but what they've added has been really good. So the portal, I think, overall has been good to Oklahoma. A lot to be excited about. This weekend is the MLB draft. Keep an eye out for that. That's Saturday, Sunday this weekend. It's a two-day thing. I think it's like the first three or four rounds are on Saturday. I can't remember exactly. I'll have the coverage over on Sooners Illustrated. We'll have the live thread keeping up as all you guys get taken. Also have a recap at the end of it. Basically, the things to watch here for if you're an OU fan. Obviously, it's fun to see where some of these guys land. Jackson Willits, Dayton LeChance, Brendan Brock. But, like, those guys are going to go to the professional ranks. They're going to sign. I'd be stunned if they didn't. It's really more about the borderline guys. Desan Harris, Jason Walk, maybe Camden Johnson. Those are the guys that it's going to be interesting to see where they get taken and then do they sign, because obviously they could come back. And the whole 5 for 5 thing is it's very hazy. I don't even know if I know how it all works totally, if it's just automatic, like everyone just has a fifth year now, like just boom, because that could change the calculus for some of these guys, certainly. So those are the ones that are going to be interesting. I would think Harris, Jason Walk, maybe Camden Johnson, because like Jackson Willits, Dayton LeChance, they're gone. They're going to get drafted too high. They're going to take it. They're going to go, and they should. But those other guys are the ones that are going to be interesting to keep an eye on. So just be aware of that. MLB draft this weekend. I'm sure we'll probably put a little bow on it, maybe at the tail end of next week's show a little bit as well. So that's coming up. But been a good offseason for OU baseball. A lot to be excited about as they try to run it back. There's been more interest, for obvious reasons, in the offseason than ever before. I've gotten so many questions, whether it's on the board or online or whatever, just people asking about poor guys. So I think certain guys will be back or whatever. And it's like, there's never been this much interest. It's amazing what winning a title can do. So that's been a cool thing. But keep an eye out for that this weekend. All right, I think that's it. Might be back later this week with Brody Lusk and I on my hit recruiting show. I'm going out of town on Thursday, so we're trying to work out the kinks on that. But if not, obviously Tom and I will certainly be back next Monday. Like I said, we'll do some schedule talk, look ahead to the season, kind of break down the schedule a little bit. And we'll also look ahead to media days, because the next week after that, next Monday the 20th, will be when Oklahoma takes the stage down in Tampa. So we will not have a show that Monday, because Tom will be in Tampa, and obviously I'll be covering it and trying to get press conference video out for the people and all that stuff. We'll probably circle back, I would think, maybe on Tuesday if that's workable. We'll figure that out between now and then to kind of recap media days. But that's what the next couple of weeks look like. We're moving forward. Fall camp's about a month away. And, enjoy your summer. But it's starting to heat up a little bit over the next couple of weeks. So looking forward to it.
I know they haven't announced yet who the player representatives are going to be, but –
yeah.
Who's your early?
How many go? Game? Three?
Three, usually, yeah.
Well, you got to put Mateer in Stone.
Do you? Mateer for sure, but.
No, in Stone, sorry.
Okay, sorry. I think you said Mateer and Stone.
No, yeah. I mean, he probably is in that conversation. Probably Kip Lewis, maybe, I guess. And then Peyton Bowen? I don't know. What do you think? I mean, I would think that it's going to be Mateer than two defensive guys.
My guess is it's going to be the same three guys that we saw in Omaha representing them there. Mateer, Kip, and Owen is my guess. Just a gut feeling, but it wouldn't surprise me if like a Taylor Wine goes.
I can see that. It was R. Mason last year, right? And I think it was Robert Spears Jennings, I think, was the other one with Mateer. So following that formula, yeah, you could see maybe a Wine or a Peyton Bowen. I could see popping. I feel like Kip is borderline a lock, like Mateer is.
And so Kip and Mateer are locks. It's just who's going to be that third.
Yeah, yeah. That'll be cool. Media days this year. Tom will be out there. I'm going to hang back this year, but we'll have all the coverage, obviously. I'll be getting the press conferences up on the YouTube channel, and then we'll have, obviously, full kind of break it all down, what stood out and all that, on the pod probably that next day, that Tuesday, but we'll figure that out between now and then. But anyway, that's it for now. Keep up with us as soon as Illustrated every single day, trying to keep you entertained. We're in the dog days here, but we're getting close to kind of getting some more fresh football stuff here soon. Can you set the table for this season? Back later this week, more than likely with Brody Lust. Tom and I will circle back next Monday, but that's it for now. For Tom Green, I'm Josh Calloway. We'll see you next time right back here, as always, on Sooners Illustrated.